So if you have your Bibles, let's look at Genesis chapter 28. And this morning we're going to be looking at Jacob's dream, probably better known as Jacob's ladder. Susan asked me if we were going to sing the song Jacob's Ladder this morning in church. And so I grew up in church. I cannot recall singing Jacob's Ladder. Can you believe that? Craig can't either, so I'm not sure if that was a Southern Baptist song or if it was a Methodist song or what, but no, we're not singing Jacob's Ladder this morning, but we are going to be looking at the text, and it is a great text this morning. I'm excited to share it with you, and Jacob had a dream, you know, and when he woke up from that dream, he realized that he was in the presence of God. Have you ever been in a room somewhere where someone really important has walked into this place, and you know they're important, and by their presence, you begin to act a little differently? You know, you're in awe of who you're in front of. Has that ever happened to anyone? One person? Couple people? Okay. I remember when I was in high school, I was singing in the Madrigals, and we were singing in a home. We were a really good Madrigal group, and we were invited to a lot of different places in Fresno in my high school years. And we were in this one house, and it was some kind of fundraiser. And I remember being on the stairwell. The Madrigals were just kind of spaced out on this really large stairwell singing. And all of a sudden, in walked William Shatner. You know, the Captain Kirk from Star Trek. Now, if you're under 40 years old, you have no idea who I'm talking about. But when I saw William Shatner, Captain Kirk, I forgot my lines. That's Captain Kirk. But, you know, being in the presence of someone important, that can happen. I remember another time being in the presence of someone important, and it was my wedding day, and I was standing down there at the front of the aisle, and after all the bridesmen and groomsmen had walked in, the doors in the back were thrown open, and there was my bride, my wife, standing there with her dad. And my eyes were just glued on her presence as she came down that aisle. I didn't notice anybody else in the room. My eyes were completely on her, and I was standing in awe as she was coming down to the front to be married to me. Oh, the grace of God. Well, we're here this morning and we're looking at Genesis chapter 28, and Jacob has had a dream. And he is in awe in waking up from this dream. And we're going to be looking at his reaction following this dream and the commitment that he made in this text. And so, if you have your Bibles, let's look at verses 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that city Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me the bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. And so as we look at this text this morning, we can break this down into four sections. The first section is verses 10 and 11. This deals with Jacob's departure. Jacob's dream is in verses 12 through 15. And then we see his reaction in verses 16 and 17, and then his commitment in verses 18 through 22. So Jacob's departure. Where is Jacob? Jacob is in a place that doesn't have a name. He has left Beersheba. He has left his family. Jacob has been in Beersheba probably by his mid-20s or early 20s. He moved there with Isaac and Esau and Rebekah. After Isaac had been having much trouble digging wells. And so here Jacob is, he's in his late 70s. And so he's been in Beersheba for at least 50 years. But he's had to leave Beersheba because why? His brother Esau is wanting to kill him because Jacob has deceived his father. He pretended to be Esau, and Esau blessed Jacob rather than Esau. He had stole his father's blessing. And so Rebekah had gotten word of this, and she told Jacob, you need to get out of here, son, because your brother is going to wants to kill you. And so Rebekah goes to Isaac, and she tells Isaac, you know, our son still doesn't have a wife, and he needs to go to my brother back in Haran, up in Haran, and find a wife. But she doesn't tell him the real reason that Jacob has to leave. And yet here in verses 10 and 11, Jacob is in a place without a name. This is a very unsettling time in Jacob's life. He's had to leave everything that's been familiar. He's left his family behind. He's single. He's alone. He is homeless. And in fact, the Bible says he doesn't have a pillow. He's tired. It's the nighttime now, and so he needs to lay down in the place where he finds himself, and he finds a rock to lay his head upon. And so this is a very discouraging moment in Jacob's life. Can any of you relate? Do you feel as if you're alone this morning? And you're just wandering. You don't know where you're at. You're just in the middle of nowhere, emotionally, spiritually, maybe physically. Hey, you're in Ridgecrest, okay? And so you may feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. But I want you to know this morning, regardless of how you feel, God is in this place. God is in this text. And so at the bottom of Jacob's life, emotionally, spiritually, physically, God gives Jacob a dream. God speaks to Jacob's heart. And so we see this in verses 12 through 15. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. God is about to speak to Jacob. And I want you to see again, oh, the grace of God. Because where has Jacob come from? A life of deception. Jacob finds himself in the middle of nowhere because he has lied to his father. He has stolen his father's blessing. He didn't have to do that. Jacob had been promised that he was going to receive the inheritance. He was the chosen one, but Jacob, Rebekah took it upon themselves. The whole thing blew up in their faces. And here Jacob is fleeing for his life. And yet God has not given up on Jacob. Jacob is still God's man. Friend, that is the grace of God. That is the God that we serve. That doesn't mean there's not going to be consequences when we disobey Him. But in the midst of those consequences, when Jacob is laying his head on a rock as he has nothing else, here comes God in a dream. And in this dream, there is a ladder. And this ladder is reaching from earth to heaven. It is a stairway. I don't know what kind of ladder it was, but it reached from earth to heaven. And the Bible says there were angels ascending and descending upon it. It was a ladder that God provided. You know, we've read of a similar story in Genesis chapter 11, where man wanted to build a ladder that would reach to heaven. That was something that man wanted to accomplish for himself, to draw attention to himself. And God blew that up. But in this passage of Scripture, it's the grace of God who is providing the ladder, and it's angels from heaven ascending and descending. Now, who are these angels? These are God's helpers. These are God's messengers. These are angels who do God's bidding. whatever God would have them to do. And here we see them in this passage of Scripture going up and down this ladder as messengers of the Lord. Now, I just want you to understand this about this ladder. It is God bridging the gap between earth and heaven. And it is only the grace of God that can bridge the gap between earth and heaven. And we're going to see that that comes through the person of Jesus Christ. But God in this dream to Jacob is saying, Jacob, I'm here. This ladder is for you. I want you to know that my messengers are ministering my presence, my grace, my message to you, Jacob, in this isolated, desolated place. I am here. So God is connecting the visible with the invisible. You know, God may have us in places occasionally where we're wondering, where is the presence of God? Is God here? Jacob was thinking that very same thing when he laid his head down that night. What is going on in my life? And God, in this dream, is revealing the invisible with the visible. God is just, by His grace, lovingly communicating to Jacob, Jacob, I am active. I am working. I'm in the middle of your nowhere. I'm here, Jacob. And at the top of this ladder, the Bible says in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. You know what this is? Who this is? This is the pre-incarnate Christ. This is Jehovah God. This is a theophany. This is Jesus. He's standing at the top of the ladder, and it is communicating that He is sovereign over all things. He is the message. He is sending His angels, but He is in sovereign control, and He speaks. He speaks to Jacob, and He says this in verse 13. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Jacob, I have been faithful to your grandfather. I have been faithful to your father. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. You know, he thought he had to take it through deception. He thought that through his mother and listening to his mother that he had to control the situation. He had to do something about it. But it is God who's going to give the land to Jacob. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you. God has been with Abraham. God has been with Isaac up to this point, but now Jacob is going to hear from the first time that God is with him. When he's at the bottom of the bucket, in his depression, in his singleness, in his aloneness, God says, Jacob, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. This is the land that he was promised. And he was fleeing it for his life. He didn't know what his future held, but God knew what his future held. And in this dream, he tells Jacob, "Jacob, this is yours. And I am with you." Oh, the grace of God. And just as God was involved in Jacob's life, Christian, God is involved in your life. God knows your situation. God knows your emotions, your circumstances. And you know what? There's a ladder that reaches down to you. And it's just not any ladder anymore. And we're going to look at it at the end. It's the ladder of Christ. And it reaches from earth to heaven. He is there. He is not disconnected. He does not walk away from the affairs of our life and just try to allow things to play out. No, he is the sovereign God who reigns over all. And you and I must see this. Know this. Because circumstances have a way of squeezing the truth out of our life. And we're just left with our emotions. And we're left with our fear. We don't have to live in our fear. We can know that God is there. All things, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. This is God's promise. It's not God's promise to everyone. It's God's promise to those who have given their heart and life to Jesus Christ, who are walking by faith and not by sight. Jacob isn't alone. And my friend, you are not alone. God says, I am with you. I will protect you. I will preserve you to the very end, he tells Jacob. That's his promise to Jacob. Has God made a similar promise to us? Yes, he has. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That's our God. That's his promise. And just as the forefathers had to sustain themselves with what the Word of God has said to them, my friends, we must sustain ourselves on the promises of God as well. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12 says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me is be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. There's no place that you can go where God isn't always there. He's here, my friend. And He wants us to know this, see this spiritually, and believe this with all of our hearts. And so, this dream is all God's grace. And what is Jacob's reaction? Jacob's reaction in his verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" How many times have we found ourselves somewhere and we haven't realized that God is in this place? There's not a place you can go where God isn't already there. There's not a place that you can go on your junior high or high school campus that God isn't there. Whatever class you're sitting in or whatever situation you find yourself that you just hate in the moment, guess what? God is sovereign. And God is there. And He wants to encourage you in it. Jacob, this place didn't even have a name. It used to be called Luz, but nothing's there. He had to steal a rock to lay his head down. Never in his wildest imaginations when he went to sleep that night was he thinking that God is in this place. But in the most miserable and desolate of desolate places, God is telling Jacob that He is there for him, and he didn't know it. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. You know, our kids just came back from camp. Camp is a great opportunity to encounter God, to connect with God. But the best thing that you can do for your life, young person, is learn to connect with God's right where you are, right in the moment. And how do we connect with God? You know, God did something very unusual with Jacob, okay? He spoke to him in a dream. God has given us everything we need in our walk with Him. He has given us His Word. And as we read His Word, we don't race through it, okay? We take our time. We read it. And sometimes you don't have to read a lot. Sometimes you just have to read a little bit, and God's going to use that in your life. But it's going to be in the Word that He is going to feed your soul and give you what you need in the moment. I remember, I've shared this with you before, it's been a while, but there was a senior adult in our church years ago that I called on the phone because I was calling to encourage her. And I was going kind of through a rough time. And as I had prayed with her and was about to hang up the phone, her request to me was, "Pastor, would you read Psalm 23 to me?" I was familiar to Psalm 23. We're all familiar with Psalm 23. And so I started reading Psalm 23. And I got to the place where David says that you prepare a place for me in the presence of my enemies. And I could hardly get through that verse without choking up as I read it to her. Because that wasn't just for her. That was for me. That was a truth. That was a promise that God shared with me in the moment. You know what, church? That is the encounter with God. God speaks to us through His Word. And so I just want to encourage you to be consistent, be in His Word daily. This is food for your soul. And you will know, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, God is there. And you can trust Him. And so, Jacob knows the Lord is in this place. And then verse 17, "And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" This is a right response, my friend, in the presence of a holy God. In the presence of a holy God, this is an awesome place. And we're not to approach it lightly, because we are in the presence of holiness. This is reverential fear. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's a good place to be, Christian. To fear God. To fear who He is. He is holy and He loves you. He created you. He died for you. And by His grace, He will save you. And so Jacob understood that he was in the presence of God, and he named this place Bethel. Beth meaning house, El meaning God, the house of God. There was nothing where he was. Absolutely nothing. He laid his head on a rock, but he knew that he was in the house of God. And he named this place Bethel. Amazing. This place was awesome. And it's because God was there. And then in verses 18 through 22, overwhelmed by his encounter with God, he makes five commitments. Number one, he sets up the stone as a pillar. The rock that he laid on, okay, this flat rock, he props it up and it becomes a memorial stone. And it's a reminder of what God has promised. You got memorial stones in your life? Where you've had those encounters with God? Oftentimes in my life, it has been my journal. When God has spoken to my heart with a situation similar to what I just described, I record those things because they're reminders of how God has been faithful in the past. And so Jacob sets up this stone that he had slept on. He props it up. And this is a memorial stone of his encounter with God. And then number two, he pours oil over it as a symbolic, symbolizing the presence of God in that place. He's renamed it Bethel, the house of God. He makes a vow to God in verse 20. Let's look at this vow for a moment. It's interesting, the vow that he prays. "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me the bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God." I don't know about you, but that sounds like Jacob is bargaining with God at this point. You know, "God, if you do these things in my life, when I come back and I come back in peace, things are well with me," then he says, "then the Lord shall be my God." So I don't know if there's just still a lot of immaturity in Jacob's life. You know, up to this point, Jacob's not a believer. You remember in the last chapter, when Jacob prepared that stew for his father and received that blessing in deception, his dad asked, "How did you get this meal put together so quickly?" And Jacob says, "Well, he didn't say, 'My God helped me.' No, 'Your God, Isaac, Dad, helped me.'" God isn't the God of Jacob yet. And so, is Jacob bargaining with God at this point? Or some translations, though, in this passage of Scripture in verse 21 says, "If God will be with me," it's possibly interpreted, "Since God will be with me." Not just "if God," but "since God will be with me, I will commit myself to these things." So I'm not sure exactly where Jacob is at this moment, but he is making this vow to God. He wants to do the right thing. He's now believing that God is his God. He's not just his grandfather's God or Isaac's God. God is now Jacob's God. So my question to you this morning is God just God, or is he your God? That's a question for every one of us we need to answer, ask ourselves and answer. Is he just God, or is he my God? You can't ride on your family's coattails to heaven. This is a decision between each and every person God has created. God needs to be my God. Is he your God? He wants to be your God. He wants to be our God. And so here we see in this passage of Scripture, he's made these commitments. And one last commitment he makes is in verse 22. It says this, "And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you." Now, Jacob is talking about the future, okay? Jacob is just left with the clothes on his back. He doesn't have anything to give to God except the stone that he slept on that night. But in his commitment to God, as he comes back into the land of Canaan, as God has been faithful to him, and it's going to be, he doesn't know it at this point, but it's going to be 20 years later before he comes back to the land of Canaan. And he's going to come back to the land of Canaan, a very wealthy man. But he tells God in this moment, "Whatever you've given me, a tenth I'm giving back to you because it all belongs to you. But here is the principle of the tithe. And the law hasn't been written yet. It's still 400 or 500 years down the road when God gives a law to Moses. But in man's heart, man knows that a tenth belongs to the Lord. All that God has given you, my friend, comes from the Lord. You didn't earn it. Oh, I'm sure you worked hard for it, but you know what? God gave you the body, God gave you the mind, God gave you the education. God has given you everything to earn a living. But it all belongs to the Lord. It all comes from the Lord. And God tells His people, His children, to give a tenth back to Him. This is a biblical principle that you and I need to practice regularly. God can't bless you with a clenched fist hanging on to what belongs to Him. He wants you to let go and trust Him for what He wants to do in your life. God will bless you as you practice this principle in your life. God promises. And God says, test me now in this and see if I won't be faithful. Oh, He may not give you a ton of money, but He'll bless you with things that money can't buy. He'll allow things to last longer that should have worn out years ago. This is our God. And so this was Jacob's commitment back to Him. In the middle of nowhere, at the bottom of his life, he still doesn't have anything, but he knows he's leaving the land of Canaan with the Lord now. And the Lord goes before him, and God's going to take care of him. He doesn't know what his future is going to look like. But God holds him. And my friend, if your life is in Christ, God holds you too. Now, let's go to John chapter 1. Because we need to, as we conclude this text this morning, Jesus referred to this text as he was calling one of his disciples, Nathanael, in John chapter 1. Philip has encountered the Christ. And Philip is excited about having found the Messiah. And so he goes to his brother, Nathanael, and goes to him and says, come see what I found, who I found. And so in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43, let me just read to the end of the chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's referring to Genesis chapter 28. But what's missing in John chapter 1, verse 51? The ladder. There's no more need for a ladder. The ladder is now Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Nathanael was overwhelmed with this encounter with Jesus. And you know, by reading the text, you might think, you know, this is, Nathanael was kind of over the top. Because all Jesus told Nathanael was, Behold an Israelite in him in whom there is no deceit. What was Nathanael thinking under the fig tree? I have a really good hunch that Nathanael was meditating on the life of Jacob. God, is my life like Jacob? Am I a deceiver? Am I a phony, a fake? And Jesus knows all of our thoughts, doesn't he? And Jesus sees Nathanael and says, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Jesus sees Nathanael and says, Nathanael, you are the real deal. And Nathanael is overwhelmed and says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus is a bit caught off guard with that. Because I said this, you know who I am. Nathanael, listen, you're going to see far more. And then he repeats, he talks about the dream of Jacob. And you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I'm the Jacob, or Nathanael. I am the one who's going to close the gap between heaven and earth. Jesus says later in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. And He is the Son of Man, and He is the Son of God. He's at the beginning, and He's at the end, and He is everything in between, and He is all you will ever need. My friend, do you know this Jesus? Is He your God? He wants to be your God. How do we make Him our God? How do we allow Him to become our God? By humbly surrendering yourself, repenting of your sin, believing on all that Christ has done for you by dying on Calvary's cross for your sin. And then 3 days later, conquering sin and death. When you believe that, when you confess Him as Lord and believe in your heart what God has done, you shall be saved. And He will be your God. Allow Him to be your God this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this awesome promise that Jacob needed in the moment. And there's still lots of challenges. That are awaiting Jacob as we continue to read the text. But God, You were with Jacob in each and every situation. And now Jacob believes that and is trusting You. Lord, if there's one here today who has that doubt, is unsure, that may God today be the day of their salvation. God, You are here. You are in this place. And You are awesome. And may we know that this is the house of the Lord because You have spoken. Lord, use this time of invitation for each and every individual. Lord, it's not just lost people who need to hear this message. It is Christians who need to hear this message. May they know. May we all know that in the middle of our nowhere, God, You are there. And You have spoken to us through Your word. May we trust it and walk in faith accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.